Hi, everyone. This is Meeting Brenda, a speed coaching program. I'm a personal coach, and I want to help you create a life that really works. First, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. My passion is helping people transform their lives into one that they really love. So many folks today are just living what I would call an okay life and want a lot more than that. They see people around them enjoying life more and wonder how they can ever get there too. I'm a core energy coach, so I can tell where you are energetically and what needs to happen for you to shift it into a better place. There are many levels of energy that you're in. For example, there's a lot of people who feel sorry for themselves. They feel like they're victims of circumstance. And then others have moved out of that victim feeling into just being angry. You know, the kind of people who are cutting in front of you on the freeway, or the complainers waiting in line at Walmart. They're just always mad at something or other. The good news is that once you're aware of where you are energetically, you can flip your switch, as I call it, and feel better right away. We all know a few people who function at a higher level, and they're those people that we meet that have that real compassionate, compassionate feeling, they're forgiving, they're concerned for others. They actually take responsibility for their actions and so on. And the good news is that we can all get there with some great coaching. So let me explain the format of the program. It'll always begin with a guest coach who has a specialty niche and works with specific clients. And after they're finished, I will coach callers doing what I call coaching. I want you to know that if you have a special area of interest, such as like relationships or, you know, regarding marriage or dating or divorce, or if you have an issue with your career or dealing with your teenagers, or maybe you just want to get healthy and want to talk to a weight loss coach. I know a lot of great coaches who specialize in all these areas that can be a guest coach. So if you go to the meetingbrenda.com website, there is a contact form, and please put whatever kind of coach you'd like on the program in there. I would really appreciate it. My guest today is Marianne Emma Jeff in California. Welcome, Marianne.
Well, thank you. That all sounded wonderful. I love what you had to say there, Brenda.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your specialty coaching niche.
Well, as you said, Brenda, my name is Marianne Emma Jeff. I like to have three first names.
Mm-hmm.
And originally from England, and that's why I have this odd little accent. I've been here 20 years, and I lived there for 20 years. So everybody's like, where are you from? And I got into coaching, and I realized I really like working with women. I have a few male clients, and I love them too. Don't mm-hmm. get all snuffy with me, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like working with women and empowering them, helping them boost their confidence, helping them get really clear and focused. But most of all, what I love doing is mm-hmm. I love working with them to break through so that they can make a living doing what they love. Because I think a world full of people doing what they're passionate about is going to be a beautiful place to be in. And I know it makes me feel better to be that way. So I work with people to break through into that area of their life and to break through in general so that they can begin to move forward in their life and feel more fulfilled. I've done a lot of playing around with breakthroughs and have had a lot of breakthroughs myself. And I like to call myself the breakthrough queen.
Ooh, that's a big statement. That's a big statement, yeah.
And every time I say it now, I think of that song from ABBA, you know, dig in the dancing queen. So now we've got dig in the breakthrough queen.
Yeah, there you go.
If I could sing better, I could get a real good little single.
Uh-huh. Well, and who would you describe as your ideal client then?
Someone their kids are just getting into that independent stage. For some moms, it might be that they're going off to college, but often maybe it's just that they're just getting settled into school, and the mom's ready to reimagine and recreate their life. They do not want to just go back into the career or the way the career that it was before. And so we have a lot of fun reimagining and recreating their career. And a lot of times what we end up doing is developing businesses for them. And mm-hmm. I really empower them because a lot of times they're like, well, I can't do that. And there's so many things that are holding them back because they're thinking, I can't do this. So I really empower them to build their own business and make a living doing what they love.
And what are some of the reasons they give for why they can't do it? I'm curious.
They, you know, well, people won't pay for that, or, you know, I don't know. Technology is a big thing for women in that generation that I seem to be working with. They really feel that that's crippling them because they feel like they're trying to catch up and that they have to understand the technology. So really empowering them. And I'm a bit of a geek too, Brenda. Mm-hmm. So I do bring that to the table. I do help them with the websites and the blogs and the other stuff. Not necessarily the nuts and bolts, but I know what I'm talking about with that. That's a big thing that they feel that is holding them back. Confidence is a big thing. And just dedicating the time and making a priority of what they want to do, really giving it a shot.
And what you just said about the technology, I mean, these are smart women.
Yes.
So
yes.
They can't learn this.
This, absolutely. Yeah, these are very smart women. Mm-hmm. Very smart women. But they've limited themselves with their thinking. Mm-hmm. But they are more than capable of what they can imagine. And we bust them right out of that.
And what about their confidence? Because I know, you know, women in the workplace usually are, I don't know, the women I know seem very confident at work, and then they get home and they change. You know, when they're around their family, they're not that super confident, you know, I don't know, professional. And once they're home, their mom and the wife and stuff, and their confidence somehow dissipates.
Well, I think a lot of time, I'd say about 60% of the women that I work with have been home with the kids. They've maybe been mm-hmm. working a little bit, but they haven't uh-huh. really been in the workplace. And so for those women, it's about really having, reclaiming their boundaries of themselves. Mm-hmm. And that their time is valuable and that it's okay for them to go do things. Like reclaiming their life, developing who they are. They've almost forgotten who they are and what they like to do. They struggle to really put together a schedule for themselves because they're so used to just having to be at the beck and call for the rest of the mm-hmm. family. So for those women, you know, the confidence of getting out there in social situations too, that's a big thing for women, whether they're working or not working. I work with a lot of women who have their own business or a strong career. They might be a chiropractor or a photographer, or maybe they're an accountant, a massage therapist. They have their own business, but they're really struggling to get out there and meet people. What a lot of people tend to do is they tend to separate out making friends and think it's mm-hmm. totally different and building business contacts. It's the same mm-hmm. thing, but for some reason, the women that get into business or that are trying to really build their business freak out when they think, oh my gosh, I've got to go out there and network. But it's just the same as making friends. And that's mm-hmm. I approach it with them from a very authentic, organic place. And so that it's not so scary. And I want them to have fun with it. And I want them to do business with people that they enjoy being around. And that you don't have to do business with people that you don't want to be around.
that's
really
true.
Freeing.
Yeah. It's the velvet rope policy. I don't want to work with you. Go somewhere else. Well,
yeah,
I totally relate with what you're saying. You know, when you go from working in a big organization to being an entrepreneur, you're kind of embarrassed about asking for business. When you're under the umbrella of a big company, you're always hustling for business. You're always
yeah.
asking a client for the business. And then for some reason, because it's you, it's like you're embarrassed to say that, you know, I have these qualities and these skills and I want your business. It's just, I don't know. I think it's a problem every entrepreneur faces, and maybe it's a lot easier for men. I don't know, but I think it's just generally, you have to be able to make that mental shift.
And I think what helps is I tend to attract a lot of people that are either in creative, and I use that as a big umbrella, but in creative industries or healing industries.
Mm-hmm.
And those people in particular really don't want to be what they call, you know, pushy. They don't mm-hmm. want to be pushy. But what I like to remind them of is that we all have these unique gifts, and there are people out there. We're all, I love the image of the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
So you imagine you're standing there, you're the lighthouse. Well, if you don't turn your light on, no one's going to know, mm-hmm. and they're going to crash into the rocks. So you have to turn the light on and let mm-hmm. people know that you're there. They can decide. You can't force anybody to buy from you. It's physically impossible. You know, you can't put a gun to someone's head. You'll be in jail.
Uh-huh. It hurts.
It's important that you realize that this is your life purpose. I work a lot with values. So we tap into the core values. What makes you tick? Who you uh-huh. are. And we connect your intentions, your goals, your mission for your business, and your vision for your business. It's all under that all connected to that core of who you are, so that you feel authentic in everything that you do. Because you're gonna much more likely to go out there and do it then and then if you're feeling all icky and like you're being salesy.
Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned earlier my experience working with people in the healing arts. They are the least, it's just such a struggle for them to actually accept that it's okay to ask for money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, what's up with that? You're providing a service that is so valuable to people, and you don't think it's worth, you know, put a price on it. You know, you have to be able to do that.
Valuing your time is very important.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a networking meeting, and there was, I don't know what her healing modality was, but she was giving away a bunch of stuff, right? I mean, it was a door prize. And then she was talking about doing a sliding scale and all this stuff, and I went over to her afterwards, and I said, you can call me anytime, we can talk about this, because she absolutely, literally was not placing a value on her time at all. You know, so what, if I'm her client, how much value am I getting out of that?
It's so powerful, because people, you know, they feel that, they sense that, and they don't get as much out of it. You're right.
No. I mean, it's like such an, healing work is such an energy exchange. I mean, you know, and if you're not charging appropriately for it, I'm going to think that something is amiss. I mean, I will.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think people in the healing arts are especially in need of, you know, services that you provide just because of that, because they just aren't, I mean, they don't want to think about business. And you know what? They are in a business.
A great exercise. May I share a little exercise to help
mm-hmm.
with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really just to sit down and, you know, look at your schedule, look at where your time's going, and track your time. You know how when you're on a diet, they say that it's a good idea to really log everything that you eat. Well, log all of your time and where you're spending all the time that you have. And then look mm-hmm. at, you know, your ideal salary, where you want to be at. And a number that feels good with your financial thermostat. One that you can connect to, not just $1 million, because we can't connect to that. It doesn't mean anything. So a number that, you know, if I have this dollar amount coming in a month, then that would empower me to be able to buy this, this, and this, and this. Really picture it for yourself and flesh that out. And then look at, you know, how many hours you want to work, and really break it down to what you want your hourly to be. And then look at, you know, what you're doing with your time. Facing the facts. I mean, it works with food and it works with time just as beautifully. When I give this exercise to clients, they hate me because I make them do it for every 15 minutes to write down what they're doing for 2 weeks. And they hate me when I give it to them. But I'm like, you know, just try and do as much as you can. By the end of the 2 weeks, they have already shifted some of their behavior and their habits and how they're consuming their time. And they have this great picture, and they're thanking me for it afterwards. So tracking your time, being mindful, this is a really powerful resource. You could have all the money in the world, but if you don't have any time or any energy, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And what are your other, what you mentioned creative clients, what would they be like? Who would you be dealing with?
Well, that would be your photographers, your actresses, the visual artists, creativity is such a big umbrella. I really, the writers, but I think that there's a lot of entrepreneurs that fall into this category as well, too. I think a lot of the healing is kind of creative too, because you're creating something.
Uh-huh.
But my creatives, it is a little similar to the healing in that, that stereotype of, the starving artist and not charging for your art. And that is something that I really notice so much. It's not a mess. Mm-hmm. It's a fact out there that people are really resistant to really, I mean, look at how long it spent you to create something, to make mm-hmm. that. Now, obviously, the first few that you do, you're kind of figuring it out. So you don't need to be compensated for every single minute and every single hour. Part of it is training, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need to be compensated for what you're putting out there as you, and charging for something. It's not a bad thing. There's just a big stigma against money. And looking at the relationship with money, I have a client that I'm so excited today. She was, someone offered to buy one of her art pieces for the first time, and I was so excited for her. But she was so in her head trying to figure out, well, if I sell it to her and then I want to have them for this party, she completely missed it. I had to call her up and go, hey, you're missing a really big thing here. This is the first one someone wants to buy. Don't lose that moment. That's really a celebration.
So what was she having a conflict with their relationship and them being a customer? What was that?
No, she was, she had these beautiful things she'd made, and she was, beginning, her launching and making a shift that a lot of creatives, is a really important and difficult mm-hmm. transition, which is to shift from hobby mode to it's a business. And it may seem very simple. It may seem like that's, just a no-brainer. You're either paying for it or you're not. But there is a lot that goes into making that shift. I remember I actually come from an acting background. I was an actress for, my gosh, like 15 years. And if you go on the internet, you'll find my bloody body in a few places.
If I go to IMDb, would I find you?
You will,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Huh.
And when I got into coaching and I was training, there is actually, I think it's a 6-part process or 6 stages that you go through when you're creating a business. And you go from, we were studying them in one of my classes, and we were studying this going from it's a hobby to it's a business stages. And I was looking at it, and the penny dropped for me that when I was acting, I wasn't sitting there waiting for the phone to ring. I wasn't doing that whole stereotype, right? So, you just wait and it just comes to you. I mean, I had a young child. I was still working to bring in the money. I still had a day job as well, consulting.
Uh-huh.
But every single day I was getting a list of all the things that were casting. I was driving around the city. I was delivering headshots. I was following up with people. It was a full-time 40-hour-a-week job just doing that, checking in with my agent, doing all of that stuff, right? So when I was looking at this model and I realized that I had still actually only been in hobby mode because I hadn't separated out my files. My personal, my professional was all in one big thing together. There's a few different factors that dictate which stage you're in, but I was blown away because if someone when I was acting had told me I was just treating it like a hobby, I think I would have clawed their eyes out. But when I looked at this model, that was the truth. And so I love really helping people transition from the it's a hobby to the business mode in a really, you know, in an efficient way, so they don't have to waste all this time, and so they can, when they have the mindset of being a professional, then they're treated as a professional. It's true of anything, you know, when you see the value, other people see the value. And it's really, really powerful to be operating as a business and to have that mindset.
But, you know, this is just like no one teaches you how to be a mom. I mean, how would you know to do that? I mean, how would you, you would have to be modeling yourself after someone to know how to do that. Because it sounds to me like for your acting stuff, you were really busting, you know, yourself going everywhere, doing everything, but in your mind, and what, you know, from someone else's standpoint, you really weren't a professional about it. And I don't know how you'd learn how to be one unless someone like yourself helped them.
Yeah, I mean, how I think of coaching is, you know, I'm in L.A., so I'm going to use California as an example. But if you're in L.A. and you want to go to San Francisco, you can go ahead and you can take a plane or you can drive, right, or you can take the train. I picture coaching as driving directly to San Francisco, right? Whereas if you're on your own in the car without the coach, then you're driving along to San Francisco, and then you're like, oh, it's Monterey, and I'm going to go shopping, and you spend a day up there. And then you're over here, and you're like, oh, this beautiful little motel. I want to go to wine country. So you go over to wine country for a couple of days. And it's, you know what? There is a time and a place for taking the coach route, and that's fine. But be mindful. Be conscious of it in your life. When you're approaching a situation, do I have time to take the time and money? Because it costs more to take the coast route in the long run, right? You got all those, you know, places to stay, plus the extra time. Do you have that time that you can spare? So as you approach something that you need to do in your life, do you have time to figure it out on your own, to meander around, and to take the coast route? Or, you know, can you hook up with a mentor or a coach or whatever it is, that a role model, whatever is going to work best for you in the situation that you're in, so that you can take the freeway? And that's how I see coaching, is really taking the freeway.
Well, and, you know, we all know people, I mean, everybody's at a different place in their life. Like some people, it would be, they have to do this really gradual transition, you know, that it, you know, wouldn't work for me because I want to just get there. But I'm usually ahead of the time frame. You know, things don't usually manifest for me, and I'm going to say I'm always a year ahead of things, for whatever reason. But I'm ready when it happens. I'm ready when the timing is right. So I mean, I can see that some people would feel more comfortable doing, you know, moseying their way up to San Francisco, but then, you know, don't complain that you don't have any clients, because
exactly. So that's why it's important. That's fine. Take whatever way, that whichever route you want to take. All I ask of anyone is, if you can, please, I ask of you, just be conscious. This is what I'm going to do. It's probably going to take me this amount of time, but I'm okay with that. And then you'll have a much better trip, a much better trip.
Right, because you're the one determining the speed, because it's your comfort level.
Yep.
And, you know, you can't, you can't compare yourself to someone else, because there's no one like you on the planet. So everybody goes at their own speed, and I'm sure you see some people just bolt out of, you know, being a housewife into this, you know, over-the-top entrepreneur in a heartbeat, and then others take years to get to that place. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I have a coach. I mean, I really honor coaching, and it really helps me. And I was just talking to my coach today, and I, you know, for a long time, in one of my books, I've written a book called Discovering Your Intentional and Exceptional Life. And I talk in the beginning of that book about a big aha moment for me, which was when I realized that I had been treating life like a checklist, which was huge. It was really a big penny drop for me. And that was probably about 4 years ago. But since then, I've also been realizing that I'm still going fast. Even though I've, like, cut back like you wouldn't imagine after that penny drop, I still have to be really conscious that I'm going fast. And then I had an aha moment today with my coach in that my success level, if you imagine, you know, maybe everybody has their own rate, like speed that they go at that's mm-hmm. best, that's optimum for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Towards success.
Right.
You all figure out what our speed limit is that's best for us. Well, the rate that I was going at was too fast. And so what was happening was, I was not getting to do things to the standard that I wanted to, and I wasn't feeling the level of fulfillment that I wanted to. So now I'm realizing, I mean, we're getting close. I mean, we're talking now about going down like a few miles, whereas before it was like going down like 100 miles an hour.
Oh.
the gap was big before. So
uh-huh.
now it's just right paring it down. But I really believe, it really made a lot of sense today, that there's a speed, that if it's everybody's speed, that really is the right level of that they can get things done, but
mm-hmm.
they also are enough challenge so they don't get bored, but you can get that level of fulfillment and enjoyment along the journey. It's just finding the optimum speed. So, Brenda, I hope I found it.
Well, and I think we all need to fine-tune that, because I think a lot of people have a tendency to be, I'm going to say, a tiny bit lazy, and, you know, you can blame that on a lot of things for why you're not moving forward. But, you know, with someone like you helping them, you know, you can fine-tune that speed and not feel like you're, you know, too overwhelmed or everything, your life is way too challenging, things like that. You know, you can find your rhythm in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? We do have listeners, and I'm wondering if anybody would like to call in and talk to Marianne about all this interesting, stuff she has to share, because.
Yeah, and I'd
love
to kind of play around with someone and see if they
yeah.
feel feeling a little stuck. We can see where they are on the breakthrough
yeah.
cycle.
I mean, we have the, breakthrough queen here on the line. She'd love to help you get unstuck. Believe me, we've all been, I think people, you know, I think everybody gets stuck at least once a year,
yeah.
and if not more, and then you just kind of wait to see what's happening. And, you know, you're really not, I don't know, I don't like, you're not like stuck. It's like you're just not looking in, it's like turn around, look the other way, or, you know, whatever. Yeah,
what
you know.
I find with breakthroughs and being stuck is, you know, if it were that linear and that easier, it would be great, right? If it was like, okay, this area of my, you know, I'm stuck here, gotta just open
uh-huh.
up the dam. But what
right.
happens is our life is much more complex than that. We have
mm-hmm.
a lot of different areas of our life. We might be stuck in all the areas at the same time, or we might be in different places in the breakthrough cycle with different areas of our life. So that makes it really complicated and complex.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tricky when, you know, so much of your life is working really well and then, you know, the rest of it is not going so well. I'm going to quickly read the call-in numbers. We've got four of them for you to call in. The first one is area code 530-413-4515. The next one is 530-413-4520. And call in and let's see if Marianne can help you get past that stuck zone, because when you're in it, it is no fun. No fun. And last year I was stuck. Last year I had a couple of stuck spots, and boy, does it feel good when things, you know, shift around and you're able to move forward, because, you know, nobody likes feeling like that. That's, you know, you just don't feel like you're accomplishing your role in life, and you're not really, I don't know, I probably wasn't that pleasant to be around, actually, when you have that feeling, you know?
Usually not. When you're not feeling good, yeah, it's that energy you're giving off, which you're a master in. So, that's not a nice thing to be giving off to everybody else, too. It's amazing, though, you know, I've been through a lot of breakthroughs, but I had a breakthrough this summer. And it was almost like it was the last piece of the jigsaw puzzle coming together. And what I got this beautiful gift that it came to me. I feel like I just kind of downloaded it from the universe. But that there is actually a cycle to breaking through. And, you know, just like there's the stages of grief, there are
mm-hmm.
actually stages that you go through in the breakthrough cycle. And even if you're in the really crappy part of the breakthrough cycle, just knowing that is really empowering.
Mm.
So that's just really good to know. So like when you're feeling like you're in that crappy place, if I can say to you, you know, well, you're at this point and this is what's going on and this is what's next, at least you know where you're at. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marianne, we have a woman from California. Valerie is on the line. So you want to take this call?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay.
Hi, Valerie.
Hello. I'm from England, too.
But whereabouts in England are you from, Valerie?
I'm from Windsor.
Oh, okay. And how long have you been here?
26 years.
Oh, you beat me.
Oh, I did it? I'm starting to beat everybody now.
26,
how long
definitely.
Have you been?
Yeah. So, Valerie, where are you feeling stuck somewhere?
I would say I'm stuck in just about every area of my life. I mean, I missed the whole broadcast because my daughter had forgotten something in her locker at school, and I had to go drive her there because it's due tomorrow. So I got back in when they were saying you can call in. So I have no idea what you said before, which was a shame.
That's okay,
you know.
Valerie. I'm going to throw this out there that you heard exactly what you needed to hear for right now. Maybe you weren't supposed to hear the other stuff. Maybe it would have kind of thrown you off or something.
Yeah. I just feel like I've come to the end of my second life. I mean, I've spent half my life in England and half my life here, and you know, I just like have a lot of self-doubt about like finishing my marriage and where I'm supposed to live and whether I should stay or go or whether I should go back. I mean, I'm not divorced, I'm separated, but I'm also, my health is, I have a chronic illness, so I'm dependent, I'm on disability on him still. And my options are really, really small, but my mind is really, really big and what I've always wanted to do or tried to do, you know. And so I don't know. I don't really know what I should be focusing on. And
if I check in with you, Valerie, with your gut, you know, if all of this stuff wasn't here right now, if you didn't have to worry about it, I wave my magic wand, what would you really want right now?
Well, if you could wave your magic wand, then it would be I'd want my health back. But I know that I've been working on that for like 2 decades, and I just think I've wasted my time and money on that. But
what I'm hearing a lot of here, or I'm not hearing a lot of, is a sense of possibility.
I've lost it. I've always had it, but just the exhaustion of the last 2 decades, or at least the last decade even more so, of trying to make things happen and not, of just being blocked every single way, trying to heal and not, you know, after spending $50,000 on that, not healing, you know, extremely difficult marriage, unsupportive of anything I've tried to do. Which blocked me because I was dependent. So, I always had that. What you're saying is true.
Possibility.
I always had
you had
that, and I agree. I agree. I've lost it right now, and I don't know which way. I don't have the energy to do it all, you know, but I don't really know where to live and, you know, how to earn and how am I going to do it and which country to do it in and whether to be married or single.
So much you have on the stove, so many decisions, and they're not little decisions. You've got a bunch of big decisions. And I hear that you're frustrated. You said decades with your health, which I can understand that would just really begin to wear down your sense of possibility. The problem is if you don't see the possibility, then nothing is going to happen. And I'm not trying to be a downer here, but
I guess I'm just trying to accept things, you know, instead of like living in a dream world, and you know that everybody wants me to go back into the dream world, but it's like I was in that and I didn't get anywhere with it. In fact, my life just broke down trying to do it all, and I'm at the worst point of my life. And, yeah, so, I, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
What's, so, what, you yeah, know, what if you look at all the areas of your life, which area do you feel like you'd, because to try and focus on everything, like, you know, if you picture you're cooking on the stove, right? You've got all these pots on the stove. You've got your health. You've got your career. You've got your marriage. You've got where you're going to live. The more pots you put on the stove, the more dissipated your focus is and your energy, right? So if you were just to focus on one of the pots, which pot would you focus on?
Well, usually I switch around because obviously, you know, I was focusing on my art and then I was trying to make money at it, but you know, I didn't really in this economy. I haven't really got that far, you know, with it. But it changes. So right now I'm not sure, you know, this is the first time I haven't actually, I'm really not sure what I should focus on. I mean, usually
if you were to picture that you just planted a garden, right? And you've planted all these beautiful plants, and then you just water one at a time, and you just keep changing up which one you water. They're not going to grow very well, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like that's what you've been doing.
But it's like, if your whole life is if that's the reality of your life, if everything is and has happened to you, usually most people are dealing with one or two things at a time, but I mean, I am dealing with all these things. So, I don't know, you know, I don't know which one to focus on. Like you said, I don't really know whether I should get back in my marriage or not, so I can't really focus on that. I don't know if that was a good idea after all it, I've gone through.
You keep bringing up the marriage, so I'm curious, like, if you could get that decision out the way, would that help you with some of the other decisions that you have to make?
Well, but it's all tied up with money because I can't get out the way of him while I'm dependent on him. So then it goes back to, see, I swing around. They're all related to each other and they're connected to each other, you know?
Well, everything is in life. I mean, it's, you know, boy, it would be great if everything was in a little box on its own, but everything is, it always is. It's not just your life, Valerie, honestly. It's all interconnected. You're not alone. But do you want to be in the marriage or not?
I don't know. Not the way it is, not the way it has been. So, no, but.
Well, I'm going to just throw out there that's something. Your decision of whether or not you want to be in that marriage or not is in your control. Do you agree with me?
I would normally, but because of the fact that I'm on disability, I cannot afford to make it on my own.
I'm just saying the decision. Just in your own
mind.
Well,
I made the decision 2 years ago that I didn't want to be in it. But 2 years later, I'm still dealing with it because of the circumstances of my life. In other words, I couldn't leave, or I have a daughter as well. I wasn't able to leave. I didn't have the money to do it either. The credit crunch. He got laid off. The credit crunch happened. And then it was like I was just forced to just give all that up.
But a few minutes ago, Valerie, I asked you if you wanted to be in that marriage, and you said, I don't know.
Well, I only say I don't know because I don't know if it's realistic for me to think of being able to support myself on a small amount of money.
I'm not even suggesting we move to the point of action. I'm just talking about clarity in your mind of what you want. Because unless we figure out very clearly what we want, things aren't going to begin to play out.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's what I said. I did figure that out 2 years ago, but now I'm kind of going backtracking because I realize I haven't been able to change anything. And when I look at the last 2 years, I haven't been able to change anything because of the circumstances of my life, but I did end the marriage. You know, but we're separated and I'm afraid to file for divorce because he wasn't earning enough for me to get enough alimony to help me to live. It's very complicated. I mean, you know, right now he's paying the mortgage here. My daughter still lives here. So, you know, I don't really have a lot of options right now, you know.
So it sounds like you're not really living in integrity yourself right now. You don't want to be in this situation that you're in.
No. No.
Is there a small step that you can begin to take? I know you keep saying that you made the decision 2 years ago, but I'm not hearing, Brenda, I mean, are you hearing in her voice that she's made this decision that she doesn't want to be in this marriage?
When you're financially tied to someone like that, I mean, even if she says, I don't want to be married to you, she doesn't have the confidence that if she gets divorced, that she'll be able to care for herself. She doesn't have that
I don't
confidence.
Want to be in poverty or homeless. And that's what it feels like to actually completely cut the ties. Plus, we're both living in the same town, and he's still taking care, you know, there for my daughter, and she's here with me, and... you know, I don't know, my situation is very, very complicated because normally people don't have all of the issues. They might have one or two of them. But when I look at all of it, it's like, you know, you just go around in circles and it drives me insane.
Well, I think that's what we're doing right now. Because it sounds like your spouse is, you know, supporting you. And if you break your tie with him completely, you won't have that financial support. And she mentioned, are you living in integrity? And I don't think you can answer that and say yes.
No, I mean, what does that mean exactly? Can you explain what that means exactly?
If you're feeling like you're living the life and doing the things that you want to do, if you're being truthful, if you are in a situation living with someone that you like and you're able to express yourself honestly in your life, are you able to do that?
I express myself honestly. I mean, I've expressed myself to death with him. I mean, you know, that's why I gave up in the end, because he's basically, you know, emotionally unavailable, and I don't know. I don't want to get into all that. But,
right. But you want to move forward, right? You want to get out of this situation?
Well, yeah, and I was trying to figure out how to make money and things like that, but, you know.
So do you see, if you could make money, that would be the thing that would get you out of this?
Well, you know, it would be one of the things. I mean, obviously, without money, you can't do anything. So you need money to be able to do anything. I mean, that's, you know, how are you going to do anything without money? Or your health. Either one or the other. You need one or the other. I mean, it's like my friend has a similar thing to me, but, you know, she has money. And, or another friend has health. But I don't know anyone that doesn't have either. And it's also...
Valerie, I'm going to interrupt for a second. Remember at the beginning when Marianne said... she's sensing that you don't have that sense of possibility?
Yeah, no, I know that. I understand what she's saying. It's true. But that's
so,
just right now.
So do you believe at all that you possibly could survive without, being with your husband, without him paying, the mortgage and whatnot?
I really don't see any way that could happen. I don't see any way. I've tried to go out there and sell my artwork and create things and try to. It's been very hard where I live in this economy. There's just not a lot of money here, and that's the first to go. So it was a bad time really to do that. Plus, just loading and unloading and going out and selling stuff, and it was very difficult with all my pain problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not helping to really handle it.
You know, she's talking about having a life without hope.
Yeah,
I know. You're right. I know. I wasn't like this. I was just lately, just this year.
Do you believe that you can shift your mindset and you can begin to see possibility again?
Well, I mean, it may shift back if something good happened. If something that I'm trying to do, if I can
Valerie,
get help with
Valerie,
it.
Valerie, I'm gonna interrupt
if I can
you again.
Get help.
You know what? You can change how you think right now. You don't have to wait for something to happen. You can say, you know what? I'm gonna think about this differently.
Yeah.
I'm going to be hopeful.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's just when you try and try.
I mean, it's
and try
you.
And try.
You're the one who has to do it.
Yeah.
You have to say, you know, tomorrow when I get up, I'm gonna really believe that I can do this myself.
And to realize too, Valerie, that, you know, it's been getting you down, it's been going on for a long time, but the solution, the shift, isn't gonna happen overnight either. I mean, of course some people win the lotto, but even if money began to come into your life, or if your health improved, or if your relationship improved, it's gonna be a gradual process. And to go back to the garden, it's nurturing the shoots, nurturing the little shoots that you have, the little things, and it blossoms, because what you focus on expands. So if you just pick one area, it doesn't really matter, I don't think at this point, what you pick. But if you begin to just notice the times when you are feeling good, and just begin to shift that, or to notice the times when you have civil words, or that you have a good day, or that you know, things, just the smallest, tiniest little thing is how you're going to shift your thinking. But Brenda's right, no one else is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge.
Yeah, I mean, it may not seem like anything, but really, Valerie, every day you're on the planet, you have something to be grateful for, whether it's your child, being able to do your artwork, whatever it is, you have so much to be grateful for. And when you focus on those gifts that you have every day, like she said, I mean, this doesn't happen overnight. I really do think you can wake up every day and force yourself to, say, you know, today I'm going to look for, hope in my life, or something good, positive in my life, and really, really focus on the positive stuff. Because right now, you're in such a victim state of mind that,
I know.
You know, you're...
Like I said, I haven't always been like this. It's just, I'm
right,
exhausted.
So you know what it felt like before.
Valerie, are you familiar with Louise Hay, with the book You Can Heal Your Life?
Yeah, I did read that a lot. I did get involved in that, but that was a long time ago and I didn't heal. See, I'm a kind of bit bitter. I'm a bit bitter
about it. You're bitter, you are.
Thing.
You're bitter. But if you're willing to give it another chance, not even the healing part of that book, right? I know the book's about healing, but at the beginning there's some questions about really, do you love yourself? Because I think it's a really valid point that she brings up when she works with people. It doesn't matter whether she's working on health, on weight loss, or career, or money, or relationships. She always just works on the same thing, on loving yourself. And she has some great questions in there. And I think that might possibly get you out of this spinning your wheels in the cycle and trying to focus on the health and then trying to focus on the art. If you just focus on her questions and trying to connect back in, because you said you've done this before. So if you could just connect back
I've been doing it my whole life, to be honest with you, and obviously what I have is, you know, not durable. I don't want to get into that either, because then I'm going to get corrected for saying that. But I mean, after 20 years and bankruptcy and just constantly getting your hopes up and going out on a limb and trying
out. You said you've felt that way before, and that you've tried to go that route. You've been more positive in your thinking. Okay. Let me just simply ask you this, Valerie. When you were thinking that way, were you happier than you are now?
Well, yes, obviously.
Well, even if that's the only thing you get out of it, boy, isn't it better to feel happier?
Yeah, no, definitely. You're right. I mean, you know, I'm aware of, I've been focusing on trying to make money and trying to figure out where to live and trying this and that. And lately, this week or whatever, I realized I need to get back to, you know, focusing on the spirit, healing, psychological, whatever side of things again. And it usually happens like every 2 years. Like, you know, I'm either focused on one and then I realize I've ignored the other areas and then I'm focusing on the other one. And I, you know, it's obviously why I'm even listening or calling. You know,
I want to leave you with some action, with something that's gonna help you out here. So what's the small step that you can take to begin getting back on that path that you know?
The path of the spiritual path, you mean?
Or whatever that path is for you, but so that you're in, you know, you're thinking more positively and you're happier.
Yeah.
What do you need to do?
I think the spiritual stuff is, I need to somehow, I'm disconnected, you know, and, I've just been hurt and, feeling hurt and bitter and angry, you know, so somehow I have to, like, you know, just try to, get back on that track, you know, and,
are you willing to let go of the past? Because I really feel you clinging to it right now.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely, you know, but I wasn't doing that before. It's just like, it's all just turning 50 and, you know, everything's happening, on top of all what I was happening before, which was bad enough, you know, it was hard enough.
And Valerie, I want to sit here and I want to really commiserate with you, but it's not going to do you any good.
Yeah.
I could sit here for 2 hours and just go, my God, Valerie, I can't believe it. And at the end of the 2 hours, you'd probably feel worse.
Yeah, but you know what? To be honest with you, I kind of miss that. I don't get that at all from anybody. So,
okay.
You know, even just the, like, you know, growing up in England, and it's like you people here, you always have to be positive all the time. So it's
Can you have some bitch, moan, and complain time? And can you put some boundaries around it? So give yourself that. Fine.
Yeah.
But be mindful. Go, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, an hour a week or, you know, whatever it is you need to do, find your friend that you can call or someone that you can talk to, or go find a stranger and just complain to them. But be you go, you know what? Do you mind? Can I just complain to you for 2 hours or for an hour or whatever? Get your story out. I want you to get your story out until you are sick of it. Because not until you are sick of it are you going to be able to move
forward. I am sick of it. I am sick of it.
I don't think you are, Valerie. You're not quite sick of it yet.
No, I just ran out of options. I just can't see my way. You know, it's like, and I'm just exhausted. That's all. It's like, you know, I just want it to be easier, and it's not. It just never is.
Can I just want to ask Valerie something. It's, you know, mothers are a role model for their, you have a daughter, you said?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious as to how your daughter reacts to,
Oh, no, she's...
Your lack of optimism, I'm going to phrase
it. She walks away, goes in a room, you know, she ignores me, basically.
Okay, well, you know, I think you have to be really mindful of the energy that you're putting out and how it affects the people that are close to you.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't. It wasn't just me as well. It's my husband. And his energy.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that when you have parents or siblings like that, I mean, it affects you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just need to be mindful of that.
Valerie, what do you want to do to shift this? What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, hopefully lighten up. I mean, somehow, you know.
But I don't think it's just going to happen. I think you're going to have to be a little proactive here.
Yeah, well, I am taking a class called Tools for Living, and a friend of mine has introduced me to somebody who's kind of like a healer kind of person, and it's just the month getting the money together to see her, but I did go to a meditation thing Nice. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's already kind of started, and hopefully something will come from that will shift, you know.
Keep at it, Valerie, because you're right at that transition point right now, and you've used this stuff before, and it might not have taken you where you wanted to go, but you were happier, and that's a step up from where you're feeling right now.
Yeah.
So, books, whatever it is, I mean, there's so much out there that you can do without money to really, I mean, just find other people and that are doing meditation if you want to do that and places to meditate and just bring it into your routine, having a gratitude journal. It's, you know, I know it's said over the head like 10 million times, but a gratitude journal is a great way to really just sit down at the end of the day and really begin to shift that into that positive place as well. So hopefully we're leaving with you with a little bit of a push in that direction.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely helpful. I mean, you know, obviously that's where I need to go. You know, what else am I going to do?
And if you get him, pick up that book. It's Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And I sat down with it on the couch, like a couple months ago, and my husband was going to go out and play soccer, and he's like, you're all right. And I was just sobbing. I was like in a therapy session on my own on the couch. So it's not that pretty, but there's a lot of questions there that really got to the core of things, and I got some great answers. You know, I found plenty of places that I needed to love myself, and it's been really powerful for me. And I've mentioned it to a lot of people recently, and that they've really connected with it as well. It's been around for a long time, but
I watched the DVD of it last night. I worked on it a long time ago when I was doing yoga and doing all that kind of thing. I remember the book.
Yeah, you know what? It sounds like your spirituality has taken a back seat for some time. You know, it sounds like you're on the verge of really reconnecting with it, and I know that that's going to be really helpful to you.
Yeah, I know I need it. I've been saying that this whole week as I've been talking to people, so I think that's why I'm on
here.
Yeah. You know.
There you go.
You
answered your own question.
Yeah.
And find some time and some boundaries around your bitch, moan, and complain time, or even if you have to just write it out, you know, morning pages in the morning, just write out all of that bitching and moaning and complaining. But be upfront about it and don't dwell in that place. Just visit it and be clear about how long you're going to be in that place.
Yeah, that's true. I dwell for long days, hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I get overwhelmed with it all.
So set the timer, however long it is, and that's the only amount of time you get to bitch, moan, and complain.
It's
thank
true.
You for playing, Valerie.
Yeah,
thanks
Valerie,
a lot.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Good advice, anyway. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, well, you know, she's not atypical. Valerie's situation is not atypical at all, I don't think.
And some people, there are things that you can laser in on, and there are things that need a little bit more time to.
Right, and I mean, you know, when you're in that, what would I call it, financial conundrum, you know, I mean, I've even read stories about couples that are divorced and are living in the same house, you know, because of financial constraints. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these situations aren't unusual, but then you throw in a bunch of other stuff, and then, you know, she used the word overwhelming, and I'm sure that's how it feels, but, you know, there's, when you're not being hopeful about the future, then things, you know, take a kind of a side turn, because there has to be hope.
And also making a choice, you know, it mm-hmm. might not always be the choice that you want, but being mm-hmm. conscious.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know what, I'm choosing to stay in this marriage and I'm going to be living in this house, because if you're in that place where you're not making a choice, that doesn't feel good
mm-hmm.
either. It does feel better to just make a choice, even if it's not your first choice, but at least be step out, make the choice.
Right, and I'm going to live in this house for 12 months, and in those 12 months I'm going to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, so you have a plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, this constantly rehashing the past and whatnot is not, not going to get you anywhere. And I, you know, it's real hard to have people listen to your story over and over again. So I think your suggestion about, doing what you call it, the bitch moan journal,
and just say your story until you're sick of it. I've had clients do that before, where I've told them to just call a friend and just keep calling people and do the story until they are literally sick of it, because you will get sick of it.
Well, I think you know, she has an interesting life right now, and I'm sure things are going to get better, because
I don't doubt. But
what it all came down to in the end, I think. You know, people always know the answer to how to get to a certain place they want to be, but they need to, you know, they need some coaching help to get there, right? Mm-hmm.
They need a little extra push and a little, someone doing, you know, do you really want a solution here?
And, you know, really no one's situation, I mean, you like to think your situation is unique, but I think both of you and I as coaches have heard a lot of, there's a lot of similarities in people's issues. So, well, I think we had a very successful time tonight, and our time is up, and I think you did a great job with our call-in guest, and I look forward to having you back as a guest coach again. How's that?
That'll be fabulous.
Are you up for it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That would be great. So listeners, please check the meetingbrenda.com website for more information about the program tonight and the contact information for Marianne as well. And as I said at the beginning, if you do have a special coach that you'd like me to get on the show, fill out the contact form and let me know about it. And I mentioned examples such as a relationship coach, a career coach, someone who works with teens, and of course, I have a great weight loss coach. So let me know what you want to hear on the program, and we'll have them on. So thanks so much for sharing your lives with us tonight. And I'm really looking forward to next week and more opportunities to work with you. And just remember that life is an adventure, and there's more than one road to the finish line. Good night. Good night, Marianne.
Good night.